you're right with people when they come to town and they're just like starry-eyed. They're like, wow, how do you do this? Well, right. The way you do it is you learn the craft. You learn the rules, and then you learn when to not to follow the rules.
Tonight, we have a very special guest, tremendous artist, most played song of the year as an artist, incredible songwriting history. So we'll get into all that stuff, Mr. James Otto. So, grew up in a small rural kind of environment, you know. How did the whole music business came about? I know you were you were in the armed forces, right?
Well, I was. I joined the Navy right after high school. My dad was a drill sergeant in the Army.
Wow.
So naturally, the first thing what you want to do is, you know, get the hell away from that. And so I joined the military like a dummy. But I'd had enough Army at that point, so I joined the Navy. And I went overseas for a couple of years and did that. But my dad was also a player, and so was his dad. And, you know, they both aspired to write songs and to play music. My grandfather was a country artist, or he was a wannabe country artist. And my dad was into rock and roll. And so I got a little bit of that from each one of them, and I guess took the dream a little further than either one of them ever got to. So
yeah. So when you got out of the Navy, did you move to Nashville? How did that come about?
I got in a band back home for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, I guess, and then packed everything I owned in a U-Haul and drove down. I didn't know a soul. Didn't know anything about Nashville, and this is, you know, the internet wasn't exactly hopping 20 years ago, so there wasn't a lot of information out there. What I did know is that Nashville had a low unemployment rate, and my thought was, well, I can work a shitty job in Nashville just as well as I can in back home in Washington, so let's go give it a shot. And I've been here ever since.
Did you work a shitty job?
Oh, yeah. A couple of them. My first job was working at Opryland, which I think is kind of everybody's first job. Well, at least it used to be.
In the music business,
yes,
I used to work.
You worked there. And I drove bus for Opryland picking up tourists from the airport and bringing them to back and forth to the hotel.
Did you sing to them?
No. That would have made it a way shittier job. If I had to sing and drive bus, look at my terrible life. So I did that for a little while, and then I got a job driving an oil truck around, delivering oil around Middle Tennessee, which was actually not a terrible job. That was actually one of those jobs where I was alone in the truck most of the day, and I did sing in the truck then because I was writing songs into like my tape recorder, and I was playing the Broken Spoke every night that they would get me on stage. I would stick around, and you know, when you're the new guy in town, they don't just get you on stage during the good sets. You got to stick around to the end.
Yes.
So I was there at like, you know, 10, 11 o'clock. They put me on stage. And
we get to watch the, you know, successful
hit writers
go on. And you're, by the time the crowd thins out, then they're
all right,
okay.
You can give it a shot. Yeah, you can't run anybody off at this point.
Everybody's
already gone.
Yeah,
so
we all did that. Yeah. So how did you go from playing five nights a week at the Broken Spoke to... actually having, did you have a publishing deal before you got your first cut, or how did all that happen?
Yes, I got a publishing deal. The first place I was at a place called copyright.net. It was a couple of guys in here, Christy DiNapoli, who had, you know, worked with Little Texas, and I think Doug Grau and some other guys that had been involved in like the Blue Collar Comedy Tour and a couple of other things. And they had a new company when all the .coms took off and all that stuff started blowing up. They had copyright.net. It was like it was supposed to be a really big thing.
Yeah.
It didn't end up being what they hoped it would, but I went from there to Universal. And the reason I ended up getting a publishing deal in the first place is from being at the Spoke and playing every night and being seen by publishers and being seen by people in the business. And I won a songwriting contest at the Gibson Cafe downtown with a song from years ago called Love Took a Backseat, and that song opened doors for me to go and meet with more publishers, and eventually
that's the key.
You said
that song opened doors.
Yes,
and that's one thing that we try to tell people in Songtown, is that it really takes a special song to open doors.
Yes.
You can go out there and play all these pitch to publisher events and all these things, and if you just have an average song, it's not going to help you.
No.
But
no.
If you have a special song, it will open the doors in ways that you can't even see.
Yeah, Scott Borchetta told me, he said that a hit song can just about cure cancer.
Yes.
Yeah. That's pretty close to accurate.
I like
as
that.
As far as in this town, like it can resurrect a career. It can do amazing things for you as a writer or as an artist.
And he knew, Scott, if you don't know who Scott Borchetta was, he's the CEO, founder of Big Machine. Yeah. He discovered Taylor Swift. And,
probably one of the most successful people in Nashville.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, he could actually hear a hit because I remember one night I played a writer's night, and at that point I'm not sure if I had anything on the radio, and there were two songs of mine he heard, and after his show he came up to me, he named the two songs, he said, those are hits, and both of them ended up being hits. It was like something
about... He's got ears, man.
He has the ears.
He's got ears. He's got an eye for talent, and ear for talent, and I mean, there's... I don't think there's anybody in Nashville as successful as he is at this point. I mean, he's got to be one of the most successful businessmen in town, so...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, what was the first song that you had some success with on the charts?
On the charts. Honestly, Just Got Started Loving You was the best. I had a couple of songs, you know, that charted. I was on Mercury Records first, and I had a couple singles with other people, and things that would, like, just barely crack the top 40. I had a song let's see, it was Gary Nichols. You know, mm-hmm. remember Gary? He was in Steel Drivers. It was his first single on Mercury Records. I wrote that. I had a song on Confederate Railroad, his record years and years ago. But nothing that ever kind of really broke through. It was always just, you know, top 40. I would crack into there and just fall out. And, but
it barely paid for the demo.
Yes, but I'd still consider those successes. Anytime anybody cuts one of your songs and thinks enough of it to spend their money and believes in it like that, that's a success for sure. And I think one of the reasons that I'm still in town is I've kind of... I don't know. You redefine what success is. At first, success was I want to be Tim McGraw. I want to be up there. I want to be this. And then, really, success, what it boiled down to was, I'm still making a living with my guitar in Nashville 20 years later.
Yeah.
That's success for me. So.
Yeah, you've been on top. You mentioned Just Got Started Loving You. It was freaking that year the most played song
of the year. Yeah. More than Taylor Swift, which is the only time I'm ever going to be able to say that. So I'm going to say it as often as I can.
And so that was your first, like, major breakthrough.
Breakthrough hit. That certainly was the big break. There were lots of little breaks along the way and lots of little things that, you know, got me writing with better writers, that got me in a room with people that I could learn from and that could pass some of their craft on to me. And, you know, those things are all very important. We're tremendously influential, all those little things that happened. But when Just Got Started Loving You took off, my whole life completely changed.
Right. And you said something else important there is when you were able to get in the room with those great writers, then it's kind of like you start seeing some light bulb moments. You're like, oh, that's how you do it. And that,
it's craft.
Yeah, there's a craft to it, and that's kind of like what Marty and I try to do with Songtown, is kind of help people learn that craft, because they can't always be in the room.
Absolutely.
I think it's
an amazing thing that y'all are doing. I've been watching this thing for a while, and it's such a wonderful resource for writers out there that don't have that in their hometowns. Right. You know, you write with people, and they come to town, and they're just like starry-eyed. They're like, wow, how do you do this? Well, the way you do it is you learn the craft. You learn the rules, and then you learn when to not to follow the rules.
Yeah.
You figure it out. Right. Yeah. And that only comes from lots of work, you know, lots of time doing it.
Can you play us Just Got Started Loving You?
Yeah, sure.
To me, I love to hear you talk, but this man has a voice from another place.
Let's see. Now, honey, come tell me, won't be in the day. Baby, there ain't nothing that the officer would go and keep away. I'm thankful for the weekend, but 2 days in heaven just ain't gonna do. I guess it's gonna take forever, darling girl. I just got started. Fighting what we're feeling, we both know we'll never win. Ain't this what we're missing? Let's just dive on this wrist and give in. Let me wrap my arms around you. You know you don't wanna leave this room.
got stars loving you. What can I say? I never felt this way, girl. You're an actor come true. After all the love we made, it should be a shame if we let this moment so soon. So won't you lay back down beside me, girl? Just like I know you. Me when I tell you, darling girl, I just got started loving you. Oh yeah, y'all, and I ain't gonna stop. Oh, oh yeah. What can I say? I never felt this way. Back down beside me, girl, just like I know you want to. Come back and let me hold you, darling girl. I just got started loving you. Oh yeah, yeah. Come back and let me hold you, darling girl. I just got started loving you.
If you had to give advice to a songwriter moving to town, what would you tell them that they should focus on to become a successful songwriter?
Meet people, first off. That's one of the best things you can do. It's one of the things that I always thought was a diss. People say, well, it's all about who you know. And then that had a negative connotation to me as a young man. I was like, okay, well, it's not what you know. Well, truly, if you know a lot, it doesn't matter if you know a lot but have no resources mm-hmm. to get that out to people. Well, if you are a good people person and you can meet people and you can socialize and you should get out there and meet as many people as you possibly can, because man, you never know who that person's going to be that lights your world up, you know, that you write with, that you go, wow, this is what I should be doing. That's the, you know, my Lennon and my McCartney. That's, you know, you find those people, and right. You find people that want to invest their own time and energy into something that you're doing is a huge compliment, first off, and also it can be that door that gets open for you that you need. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there are people that are really good at meeting people, and there's people that are really good at the, you know, writing, and then you have people that are kind of in the middle that kind of do both.
Yes.
I think there's no right or wrong. If you're like just a phenomenal writer, then you can get away with not
being as social
without a doubt. So it's kind of like you want to try to be well balanced.
Yeah, you do.
And work on your craft and work
yes.
on who you know.
And the other things is just work your butt off. I mean, yeah. It's put yourself in the situation where you're writing every day. You need to be, if you're not sitting with somebody and writing, you should be looking for hook ideas. You should be there's plenty of things to be doing. Keep yourself busy, keep your mind sharp. It's like being in the gym. If you go into the gym and you're expected to lift heavy weight, you're not there all the time, you're not gonna be able to do it. If you're writing all the time and you step into a room with a bunch of heavyweights, it's a lot easier to lift that weight and to carry your part of the bargain if you're doing it all the time and your head's in the game and your mind is strong. So, you know, stay sharp.
And that, I think a lot of times people, they kind of diss Nashville and they're out on the outside and they go, oh, those guys, they show up every day and write. And how inspiring can that be to have to write every day, you know? And I think what they don't understand is, like you said, it's a muscle. So if I'm writing every day, I've got my craft up at such a high level that when that inspiration hits,
right,
then boom, you're writing a phenomenal song.
Yeah.
Where if you're just only writing when you're inspired, and you get this inspiration.
Pros don't write from inspiration.
Yes.
Pros write from craft, and that inspiration will come. You can find a spark and make yourself a spark if you have your craft down and you're a strong songwriter, and that comes from doing it every day. I write at least 3 days a week, usually five, but it keeps me sharp and it keeps me focused and it keeps me in the game, and it's tremendously important. I can't stress it enough. Do it every day.
And it also keeps me sane.
Yeah, it's fun.
Because you go in a room, you can hang out with somebody, enjoy writing, you kind of shut the rest of the world out for a few hours, and
yeah,
it's like therapy. And
I'm always amazed at the job that we get to do. I mean, it's very difficult, and you have to have a thick skin, be able to take rejection really well, because it happens constantly. But at the end of the day, if you sit down and write a song, you have something that you take home that didn't exist that morning. You know, you walk out of there with something that's tangible and something that could put food on your table for the next 10 years. It's the right song. So there's not many jobs out there that offer you that opportunity, is to do something bigger than yourself. And I think collaboration is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's, for me, just about every publishing deal I've ever gotten has been meeting publishers through my collaborators.
Yeah.
And even my very first deal came from a co-write that I did. So,
hey man, it's important. Somebody's opened lots of doors for me. There's always been somebody there that believed in what I was doing and was going, hey man, you need to come meet this person. Come out tonight. Come do this. And sometimes you don't want to do it, and I can be as antisocial as anybody and be stuck in the studio all the time. But every time I go out and I do those things, I'm thankful that I did, because something comes out of it. A good co-write, a good business connection, lots of different things. A good time. Sometimes a hangover, but you know. You got to do it. You just got to do it sometimes.
Any of the new writers you meet, are they a little more seasoned, or are they mostly younger?
You know, I meet all kinds. I write with a lot of young artists these days, and sometimes I'm tremendously surprised at how much skill they have as a writer. And then other times you're like, you know, they're really green and they need help figuring it out. And really, what I try to do when I'm in a room with somebody that really has a great grip and wants to say what they want to say, I just want to be whatever's not in the room at that moment. If they need, you know, help with lyric, I want to be the lyricist. If they need help with melody, I want to be the melody guy. If they, you know, I try to fill the space of whatever isn't in there. So I, you know, it's trying to complement what's happening around me and just taking an assessment of what's going on and try to shore it up where it's lacking.
Yeah, that's it. We talk about that a lot in Songtown. Is when you show up to a writing session, your first job is to figure out who you need to be in the room that day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it'll change from day to day if you're a versatile writer. I think most professional writers, I think the ones that stay around as long as we have, you kind of have to be adaptable. And
absolutely.
Some days you're writing with an artist that maybe they're good at melody when you're doing the lyric. Some days you're doing melody, they're doing the lyric, whatever.
Yeah, and it's just about adapting to that, to whatever's happening at that moment, and trying to be that, and that's being well rounded. You know, that's having enough experience to go, yes, I want to help this person say what they're wanting to say. I want to make sure that message gets across clearly and in a way that they want to say it.
All right, we have Sweetwater, our sponsor, to thank for today. We love those guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Down below, we have show notes. We have books that you can check out. Check out Songtown. We have a community, thousands of people worldwide that collaborate together. We help you level up your skills, help you write better. And when your songs are ready, we can help you connect to the industry. So check it out. Yeah.